the ICMP. Before you all leave the room and go away because you're saying, hey, ICMP, you'll not see something interesting here, let me just say that using 1-4 packets only with speeds like 200 milliseconds to 350 milliseconds, this is what my tool does. So I think the guys that went to go away will now stay. Basically, what we will be talking about is some theoretical analysis. I changed that from black hat, so we'll have real-world examples along the talk. We will have some interesting sites that I've been scanning in the last 3 days. So at the end, we will see some Chinese websites. Actually, pretty cool websites, and there will be some surprises to see what they are using. Some of them are government, so. X is a logic developed again from the various active OS fingerprinting system methods I have discovered using my research. XProbe is the tool that actually was released at Black Hat 2 days ago and is available from our website. It was written along with Fyodor Yurkin. He's from the Snore development team. Is not the same Fyodor from NMAT, so there are different Fyodors in the world, I guess. The tool automates X. It's version 0.0.1. It works. I'll talk about the limitation later and what will be the future. The logic and the, well, the tool is simple, fast, and efficient, which I think every tool should be. It's still a proof of concept. And in the future, this tool will have some kind of artificial intelligence and failover mechanism. Say, you started the scanning using some method, and you failed. It will fail over automatically to another logic, and eventually, it will intelligently identify the operating system. The problem with some tools today, especially the open source one, when you do scanning, that sometimes you get inaccurate and inconsistent results. And I'll show some examples. This is true especially with Windows-based operating systems with DCP, and I will be showing examples with NMAP, for example, and how X can solve this thing. So basically, it is all depends where you sit. If you are a penetration tester, you sit inside an internal network, you want to see which operating system you have, this is one thing. If you're an attacker and you sit outside somewhere in the internet, say outside of firewall, sit here, this is another thing. So you may be having to use some different protocols or some different probes or some different techniques. It depends where you sit. Sure, it depends on the firewall and what you let in, but eventually you'll need to use something intelligently. For example, if you have a firewall, you will not expect to see traffic flying in for UDP ports which are not used on target inside the internal networks, or you will be filtering heavily if you're doing it good. But if you are inside a network, it changes the picture, and usually between internal segments, you can use ICMP because management or IT management need to see the availability of operating systems because they are lazy to get their fat asses from the seats and go up to Mrs. Robinson up in the ninth floor just to see she plugged off her Ethernet cable. About the license. License in GNU, the code is available, but all material is for non-profit educational use only. So if you want to use this for commercial stuff, you need to talk to me. If you guys want to use that and you're not using it for commercial usage, and if it's education, you can download it from our website. Again, The tool uses 1 to 4 packets, and I'll show you how it does it. Okay. The logic starts with a UDP datagram sent to definitely closed UDP port. I send some data inside the data portion of the packet. It is up to 70 bytes of data inside the offending packet. Why definitely closed UDP port? It's definitely closed so I can get the port unreachable. So how can pick a definitely closed UDP port? One of the examples will be go to the YANA list for assigned ports and get yourself some ports, and then randomly, when you use the tool, use random ports that are eventually need to be closed. Now, a closed UDP port sends you a port unreachable. If you don't get the port unreachable, you understand there is a firewall filtering you, and you may fail over to another logic. We will see an example when we will talk about Windows-based operating systems. Jeff Moss let me play with DEFCON.org, so you can see how I can do failover and identify DEFCON.org using a failover mechanism. So we have a way to identify firewall presence, and if we receive back a reply, we play. We will be using a nice fingerprinting thing with some operating systems and networking devices. When they send an error message, they send the preceding bits, which is part of the type of service byte, as you can see here, set to the value of 6 decimal, which is C0 hex. This means that Linux play the role of a router, like RFC 1812 states that router has to do. Well, I don't know why Linux does that, but if we want to differentiate between Linux kernel 2.0.2.2.4 and Cisco routers and extreme network switches, we will look at echoing integrity problems inside the echo data. I don't know how many of you know, but with an ICMP error message, certain amount of data from the offending packet is getting echoed back with the error, so you can understand which packet caused the error. The IP header and at least 8 data bytes are echoed back. There are some operating systems and networking devices that will echo more. For example, we have here Linux. We'll see that in the next slide, that echoes nearly everything that we'll give him. And on the other hand, we have Cisco and Extreme Networks that echoes only 8 data bytes. So basically, using another internal test, not a test that I need to repeat, I can differentiate between the Linux punch and the Cisco and Extreme Network punch. If I want to differentiate furthermore between Cisco and Extreme Networks, I can look at the UDP checksum header, 40 header. With the Extreme Networks, it will be 0. With Cisco, it will be echoed correctly. So basically, using one datagram, I'm able to identify Cisco routers using iOS 11X to 12X and Extreme Network switches. If I look at the Linux bunch, I will be defining it according to the IP time to leaf field value. Linux 2.0 uses 64, the others using 255, and using another query, which makes two queries to the Linux 2.2 and 2.4, I can look if we are having IP ID set to 0, which is a common problem with IP ID with Linux 2.40 to 2.44, and therefore I can differentiate between Linux kernel 2.2 and 2.45 to Linux kernel 2.40 to 2.44. So using only 2 datagrams, I was able to get Linux 2.2 access and 2.4 access. Using 1 datagram, I was able to get a Cisco, the Extreme Networks, and the Linux 2.0. Now, if you will look at the real-world example, look here, it's a real IPs. Port scanning is legal, and I would like to thank Jennifer Granny for the legal advice. Yeah, well. We can see the first query. First parameter to check is the preceding bits, set to C0 here. We can see that the data portion well, the data echoed, sorry, it's a mistake here. No, sorry. This is the data echoed really from this point. We can see that everything that was sent inside the data portion of the offending packet got echoed here. And you see the time to leave is 255, so we basically differentiate it as 2.2 or 2.4. And we send another ICMP echo request. The IP ID is not 0, then this is 2.2x or 2.45. Now, will you say foobar, right? You'll not believe me. So, this is redhat.com, and now I might be getting more acceptance. Wait until you see the Chinese sites. This is actually X running. You can see first test here, all the trees are like internal tests that I showed you before, and it identifies at 2.2x or 2.45. Now, if I use nmap, I get the same results. I get more packets sent, 3 seconds, and I get 2.212 to 2.219. Here, I was using to look closely, nearly 300 milliseconds to get the same results. So if we go back now to the main branch of the tree, we can now look at another parameter. How much echoing data is given with the error message? We have three groups. The groups that echo back 8 data bytes, a group that echo only 64 by default, and a group that echo everything. Here is Linux. He echoes everything like the other networking devices and boxes here, but we identify it again. This is like if we have some kind of a shaping, traffic shaping device, and it plays with the preceding beats, and if he fails to identify Linux in the first stage, then it will identify Linux here as well. Let's look at the main branch here at SanSolaris, HPUX, and macOS. Again, very simple test to differentiate between them. And if you didn't know that, macOS 7X to 9X acts like HPUX 11X. So they both bought the TCP IP code, I guess, from the same company. Not wise thing to do. I was able to play with macOS 9.1 at Black Hat, and I would like to thank Chris from Seagate for letting me abusing his box. Now, if I'm having false results here, if the timestamp here is blocked on the SanSolaris, sure, it will be identified as HPUX 11. Still, it's just 0.0.1, so in the future we'll have better firewalling tests with other queries as well. Here is an example with SanSolaris 2.7. We can look, here is the offending packet, here is the error message. We don't see the preceding bits here, so we are at the main branch. The data portion echoed, if you count the 58, it will give you 56, and here is the UDP header, another 8 data bytes give you 64. If you now look at the second packet sent, you see that again I get timestamp reply, so it was identified SanSolaris 2.3 to 2.8. To play really cool tricks with other operating systems, I'm using echoing integrity problems, mainly using some fields inside the IP header. I have a couple of fields I can play with. I have the IP total length field value, which sometimes might be with 20 bytes less or 20 bytes higher than the original. IP ID, because of bit order problems, might be flipped. The ID header checksum might be miscalculated or zero. The 3-bit flags and offset field values. If I set the DS bit with my request or with my offending packet, it might be flipped. So I might be seeing an error message stating I sent a fragmented thing and get the error for. So we'll see how we can use that. And the UDP checksum might be miscalculated as zero. So as you can see, we have a lot of parameters to work with. So how can we use that to slice and dice this correctly? The first parameter we will be using is the IP total length field value. Here we can see that we have three groups. the one that echoes the fill value with 20 bytes higher than was in the original. Here it's less with 20 bytes, and here it's okay. Let's look at the AIX machines. We can see that we have here AIX BSDI, older NetBSD, and Mac OS X server. Well, if you think about it, they are all sharing the same base code, at least the BSDI, NetBSDs, and Mac OS X. They're all using the same base code for TCP/IP. Again, using some echoing integrity checks, we can differentiate between the AIX machine here, which miscalculated the IP header checksum, to the other operating system, which just sent zero here as the IP header checksum, and differentiate between this group a bit more, having one group with little endian problems and the other group with big endian problems. So again, this is only one packet sent, and you can get a range of networking devices, operating systems that using the same base TCP/IP code. After you send one packet, you get a result. Here, we might have more networking devices, but the reason I didn't include them, it was like your grandmother's printer from 1985. So if you really know what your target is, you'll understand that if you're targeting host or networking devices, and in the future we'll add everything up. So if you look again at the example, it's not a real world, but I have more of these, sent against an AIX 3.2 base machine. See one query sent, a UDP query, got the error message, check for the IP total length, got the base groups of operating systems, got the IP header checked, got it miscalculated, got an AIX. Well, how much time was used? 290 milliseconds to get the results. One packet sent, just processing the reply, and I get the operating system. So you can see here, proceedings checked, amount of data byte to echo checked, IP total length field checked, the echoed value 118, and it was only 98. So one packet, 290 milliseconds, you get AIX. Someone got any question until that point? Until this point? Yeah. The implementation is publicly available. Yeah. So here's a way how we can identify OpenBSD 2.6 to 2.9 quite easily with one packet as well. From 2.6 with OpenBSD, the IP total length echoed is less with 20 bytes than the originals. I don't know why they are doing it, but it's a problem. There are some other operating systems and networking devices doing so. We look at another echoing integrity check. Here's the UDP checksum checked again. We get here NFR IDS appliance, which basically is OpenBSD with some minor changes. It echoes the UDP checksum badly. We can identify it here. We have basically two operating systems here, which can we do another echoing integrity test and get the OpenBSD 2.6, 2.9 quite fast. So if we look at another example, we can see that, again, one test here and some internal test for the reply I'm getting. So pretty fast, I'm getting OpenBSD 2.6, 2.9. Here is the example. 310 milliseconds after sending the request, I get a reply. You can see proceeding zero, amount of data byte echoed here, IP headers checksum, and UDP are correct. And the only parameter which is bad is the total length field value. So again, gives you pretty fast, gives you the OpenBSD 2.8 to the group of 2.6 to 2.9. So I was looking to do other tests with some good methods. Again, one good method is 3-bit flags and offset field value. If you set it to a certain field value, it will flip between them with 3BSD 2.2X to 4.1 and NetBSD 1.3X group. For example, here, if we are going to check what will be done here, you can see that this group will flip the bit order and also just send zero. We can see a demonstration here. It's a free VSD for our own machine. We send one datagram. It passes all our checks. We see that the frag bits are flipped, and we are doing another internal test, which basically involves looking at the IP header checksum code, which is zero with all three VSDs, and we get three VSD very fast. Again, 350 milliseconds, one packet sent, internal test, and you get three VSD 2.2x to 4.1. Basically, your reply, with your reply, it's like looking at a fragmented packet you have sent with your offending packet. What this basically was, the DF bit was set, here it was flipped, so it's parsed differently with the TCP dump. Now, this is what causes the UDP checksum, sorry, the IP header checksum to be bad as well, if you can see it from the TCP dump trace. So until now, we just quickly went through the most basic Unix operating systems. We saw that with one or with two packets, we are able to identify pretty fast operating systems. Just as a reminder, this is also automated with a tool. Now, I needed an ultimate test to differentiate between Microsoft-based operating systems to Unix-based operating systems. This was actually my first post about ICMP stuff. What happens with Microsoft-based is if you set the code field, there are type field and code field, which defines the type of ICMP message you are sending or receiving. If you play with a code field and you send a field value, which is different than zero, with your request, with your ICMP echo request, the reply with Microsoft-based operating systems will set the this field to zero. Now, the RFC states that you only have to change the type, recalculate the checksum, and send the error message back. Well, I guess at Microsoft, they wanted to play God, so they changed that to zero and sent back the echo reply. So we are able to identify each and every Microsoft-based operating system according to this little fingerprinting mechanism. I loaded up another test with it, which uses preceding bits. I will refer it a bit later, and the DF bit. Let's look at the Microsoft branch. After understanding from the ICMP echo reply that this is belongs to Microsoft, I have some unique tests identifying this. We'll look at the IPTTL. With Microsoft Windows 95, they're using 32 as the default field value for that field. When they send the echo reply, it is unique between the Microsoft-based operating systems. And others are using 128. Now, you will remember I put the value inside the preceding bits with my ICMP echo request. What will happen is that there are some operating systems that will not echo back my preceding bits, which I have set it with my request. What will happen is, guess what? Microsoft Win2K, SP1, and SP2 will not echo this field value. So what will happen, it will allow us to identify Win2K versions quite easily, just after two packets sent, looking at the TTL, looking at the code field, TTL, preceding bits are zero. Here we go with Win2K up to two packets. The other Microsoft-based operating system, which are the older one, and I'm not referring to Microsoft Windows for workgroups, 98 SE, ME, NT, SP3 and less, and NT4, SP4 and above are here. So we can differentiate between them as well, but let's look at the example with Win2K. This is a real world example with Win2K SP2. You can see here, proceedings checked, amount of data echo checked, total length is fine, and we play another, we check another criteria here. The DSBT is not echoed at all with our reply and is not slipped. Here you can see that. So basically we need to send another packet. If we're now sending it, you can see, where is that? Here, that I set a certain field value inside the code field and I got back zero. And I set a certain field value for the preceding bits. Here it's hex, and I didn't, I didn't see it back with the reply. It wasn't echoed. So this was Wimbledon.org. I wanted to see Anna Kournikova. So I went to Wimbledon.org. Yeah, go tennis. And this is what I got. They're using Win2K up there. Here you can see the actual X running on Wimbledon.org. Two tests, all the internal tests get you Windows 2K pretty fast. If we do banner grabbing, just to prove you guys that this is Windows 2000, here you get a great application running there called IIS 5.0. And just I type Go Tennis, a couple of enters, and you get that. So I wanted to differentiate between the entire group of Microsoft-based operating systems. Basically, we're all dependent here upon replies we are getting from our hosts. As you will see in the next two examples, well, they give us what we need. Here, we send an ICMP timestamp request differentiated between two groups, the NT4 and 9898SCNME. For another address mask, I'm able with a reply to identify 9898SE and ME, which does not reply. With the second address mask for the NT box, I am able to differentiate between NTSP3- and NTSP4+. So let's see some examples. Skip. Okay. Let's see that example. I'll not skip it. I have four tests here, as you can see. And internal logic is being used here. Identify the Microsoft Windows family TCP/IP stack and gives me NTSP4+. As you can see from the trace, this is again, I see that I don't qualify for any of the tests I'm using. I'm using an echo request, set the code to 123, get the code 0. Set the type of service to 6, get the type of service back. This means this is not Win2K machine. Sending a timestamp request, an address mask request, doesn't get any reply. So this is WinNT4, SP4 and above. So, if you guys will not like my talk, I might join the French Foreign Legion and ran away for a couple of years. So, if you just look at what I got after I type www.frenchforeignlegend.org. I got a nice error message. .asp. Well, guess what this is. If you give us your name and email address, we might call you for duty. Okay, yeah, right. So, here is actual screenshot. You can see X running on my box, French Foreign Legend running Windows NT. For SP4 and above. Now, if you don't believe me, this is Nmap. I was trying to do OS fingerprinting and give actually Nmap an open port that I can tell Nmap to use less traffic initiation to identify that machine. But guess what? This didn't help in this case, and I didn't get anything back. So, I was actually telling Nmap, okay, do whatever you want to. And here, after 1,500 packets after, I can get basically problematic results, as you can see. NT4 or Win95 or Win98 or WinNT4 SPP or WinNT4 server SP5 and the hotfixes. This is not accurate, but if I can, for example, this is a good example to understand that if we can tell the tool we are going to a web server, then port 80 is open. I don't need it to port scan the operating system if I, for example, want to use an IIS exploit, right? So, I told you I will get to defcon.org. Thanks to Jeff for letting me do that. I like the design. Defcon.org, basically what it gives me is the ability to show you why I need a failover mechanism. Well, because I'm sending a UDP datagram to a closed port and I need the ITMP port unreachable, Jeff kindly, I'll close down the UDP stuff. I want to thank him for giving me hard life here. But if I'm just using the Windows portion of the tree as a query-only mechanism, this means that, let's go back a bit. If, for example, I start and use the, I've been here. I send the code field set to zero, set to a value different than zero, and I get a reply with the code zero. And I can play only with the Microsoft-based tree. Now I have to get back. Oh, I didn't think it's frightening the kid. Okay. I'm struggling here. Okay, so if I'm doing the same test, I'm able to state that Mr. Moss is running MP4 SB 4 and above, and it actually was, shut up, and it was actually cross-referenced with Jeff. Yeah, if you try to play on that website, you'll have to deal with me. So, as a courtesy to Jeff, here are the traces. You can see code field is not echoed, proceedings are echoed, so basically it gives you the other Microsoft-based operating systems. It doesn't answer timestamp request or address mask request, which are allowed on the box, and this is NT4, SP4 and above. This is Nmap, again, trying to give Nmap a port to work with, and it gives me Win94, Win95, Win98. Trying to not to give any port, and it generates in 2 minutes here this result. Well, you saw that before. So basically, it's sure it tells me it's Windows, but it doesn't let me understand what is the Windows box I'm attacking, or probing, or auditing. So we can do a lot of stuff more than that. If we're going back to the main branch, we can do a lot of other tests. I have set the DSBs inside the Echo request, and I'm expecting several operating systems, when they generate the ITMP echo reply, to put the DSB there, even though if they are not usually doing so. This means that if I send the ITMP echo request without the DSB, the DSB will not be set with the reply. So there are some operating systems will just, you know, flip around the IP addresses, do their recalculating, change the type, recalculate checksum, and send back the results. There are some other operating systems which are more intelligent and will build up a new packet. I don't know if Novell or WorldTrees are that intelligent, but here they didn't echo the DSB, and we are able to identify them both because of the TTL. We can do other tests like this with the error with the DSB and identify NetBSD, the newer versions, and 2.4, 2.5 OpenBSD, and older OpenBSD as well. So basically this is still, here is two packets with the NT4 stuff. It was up to four packets. With Win2K it was two packets. With Win95 it was two packets. So very small amount of packets sent, and you see how fast the replies getting back and the calculation is being done. If I'm still on the main branch, I can send an ICMP information request and try to identify DGUX, for example, different DGUXs, HPUX, 10X, and OpenVMS. I will not go through that because you all can read that from my website. I want to show the examples. Now, this is example with DGUX 5.6. We have three datagram sends here. One is UDP, closed port, ICMP echo request with various tests and information request, which is get a response for that, and we can see another test, I'm guessing, as a DGUX. Again, we do our magic here, and here, and here, and here, and here, and basically get the results, 632, yeah, basically 600 milliseconds after three packets sent, all the process on the reply. So 600 milliseconds to get DGUX 5.6. So the rest of the tree, so I can say I cover FreeBSD 4.125, might be unreliable according to our target. If we are targeting an operating system and we know that we are targeting an operating system, for example, if we target, well, our next nice example would be a known website. We know that we are not targeting a networking device, which might be giving us false results here. So basically, if we will follow the logic here and here, well, we might be able to look at the FreeBSDs now. If you didn't know, FreeBSD 5.0 changed its IP TTL field value with the replies to 64. Guess some didn't know that. So, you all know Nessus, right? Who doesn't know Nessus? Okay, this main Nessus site. Basically, what the tool gives me here is that I check all the logic, and this is some kind of a Unix. The logic goes and stops at that point because of accuracy problem with the networking devices. Now, if you look closely at what we have received back, we can see that we have the UDP header checksum set to 0 here, and the time to live 64 was set to 64 initially here. Now, if we go to the logic, we can see that the IP header was okay, the IP ID was okay. We go down, the UDP checksum header was 0, and the TTL was 64, so it needs to give us FreeBSD 5.0 now. This is Nmap. I guess it needs to insert the TTL thingy. Get the FreeBSD 4.3. Questions until this point? No questions. Yeah. To have this example working, I have, it's hard-coded, but 0.0.2, which is scheduled soon, will have its own fingerprinting database and a logic that will work dynamically with some nifty tricks in the database. So what you'll have to do only to put more fingerprinting inside the tool and run it independently. Sure. So people can tell, can send me fingerprints. Yeah, well, if you'll be at the end of the slide, there is a slide about it. Thank you for reminding me this. So I was thinking what websites can be interesting for myself to look and might interest you guys. I went for one of the American favorite nations, the nation that denial of service, the Navy. China. So, in order to look what is so good at China, and to see if they need some thick guys, I went to the Communist Party newspaper. I went to People's Daily. Now, what is so nice about the Chinese newspaper is that everything is so cool in the world. here's the Chinese NBA player doing some good stuff, and all the news are so good, and everything is cool, so cool in the world. Okay. So, I fired away X on People's Daily. One packet got me back, People's Daily, using OpenBSD, something between 2.6 and 2.9. Okay, they weren't wise enough to use OpenBSD, but why not firewall UDP? You can see here why this traced back to OpenBSD. The IP total length field value is 20 bytes less than it was with the offending packet echoed 20 bytes less, and the other fields are okay. So this is OpenBSD 2.6, 2.9, one packet sent. And you see the link to China. Man, I now understand why they denied of service in the Navy. This is, look at how many milliseconds it took, like 360 milliseconds it took the reply to get back and for me to identify peoplesdaily.com.cn. So, after looking at the newspaper, I was thinking, if it's so damn nice, let's get us something cool at Beijing. Why not buying some mics? The microphone store in Beijing. But before that, tried to do the same thing with Nmap. Failed. 9 minutes after, didn't get any results. So it shows you that sometimes TCP is not enough, and we need to fail over or use something else. So, I went to Beijing, 7-9 Audio. I wanted that mic, man. So, there is some kind of a microphone here, dynamic microphone, wireless microphone, and other pro audio devices out of Beijing. So, I bet they had some kind of online orders form. I went and tried to identify what it ran on, and gave me a Linux 2.2 or 2.4. Two packets here, you can see. Very nice, I mean, for an audio shop. Here's the same results with Nmap, gives the accurate results. But again, the amount of packets I have to invest in order to get the results is about 1,500 if I don't specify the open ports. Was so damn nice. Was so satisfied with the microphones. So I wanted to buy myself a car. I mean, the car, carguy.com.cn. Why don't we have a Ferrari here? We have this engine car. I don't get it. But there was a super awesome, cool animation here that you don't see that gave it away as a... You'll see what it is. As a Microsoft Windows NT SP4 Plus based box, the animation was so ugly, so I spared you. Four packets sent really fast, identified as WinNT SP4. Here again, sorry for the comparison with Nmap, but it's the tool that nearly everybody uses. Here, again, I get several results, which the tool is not able to identify different TCP stuff between Microsoft-based operating system. It's not just Nmap, it's other tools that are based on TCP only, nearly TCP only stuff. After all, I was sort of satisfied with my car, I went to buy a trailer. Look at that trailer, awesome trailer. So I didn't understand anything, but I bet they need you to deposit something before you buy something. So, ChinaTrailer.com uses Linux 2.2 or 2.45. Again, pretty fast. You have to send two packets and you get the results. This is accurate results, takes more time, more packets invested. What is so nice with, this is my train stuff. What is so nice with X, you basically are very stealth because you don't understand what the hell hit you, and you cannot understand that you've been napped. And now, if in the future, and this is planned, I will add like real data portion information of a real application. Say I identify DNS servers of the organization, I know where they are, and I send this offending packet to UDP 53, and I steal some code from NS lookup, and I do lookups and send them to the IP address, which is my target. So what are the admins might say? Oh, look at that retard script kitty. Thank you, guy. I just mapped you. I don't need anything back from you. So adding some real-world data portion to these scans might do much more still stuff. And if you can play with the, you say, I want to send my UDP stuff with this and that application, might, or randomize that, nobody will understand what you're doing. So, after a while, I was so satisfied with my trailer, I went to buy a train. Up in Mongolia, there is a website called im1mgt.com.cn, which basically builds you a train. I was so impressed. Running on Win2K, SP1 or SP2. Again, two packets in, I get the Win2K identifier. Well, look at that. You want to buy a train or you want to owe the world? If you look down, this is quite amazing because, hey, we are running black eyes here. And we are ultra cool with all these open ports. We have FTP, HTTP, HTTPS. Ah, we play Doom here, man. Does your management know that? So basically, I try to map these websites with Nmap as well. I guess I'll chat with Fyodor about giving some other kind of intelligence inside Nmap so we can easily identify some Microsoft-based operating system, because if you're using the defaults thing with Nmap, it sends echo request. So if we play with some parameters, I might be doing that a bit better, and we can have it the results better than that. So here you can see that this is IIS5 Win2K, so you can just believe me that it is the train stuff. Okay, after the train, I saw the stuff in China. It's so cool. So I wanted to see how many child I can have in China if I want to move there. StateFamilyPlanning.com. Look at that awesome view. This is what you see from your room when you... Okay, well, stop here. Okay, so what they are running. Oh, Windows 2000. I guess they know their shit, I mean. Oh, yeah. This is FTP, SMTP. Well, IRC. But, dude, he's IRCing the world with a server. So everybody from the world can ask the same question and get real-time answers. Again, Nmap really failed to differentiate between 2000 and ME. So after I saw China so damn cool, I can have whatever child I want. Yeah, sure. I can buy my trailer, my truck, I can buy a train, I can buy my microphone chip, and I can have my favorite communist newspaper on the web. I wanted to go to China so bad. So, my last example. If I wanted to go to China, I need to get myself a visa, right? So I went to China Foreign Office. This is the English side of the China Foreign Office, which it tells you that what was there. Yeah, we met with President Bush. Yeah, it's so cool. And we just had a visit or Colin Powell will visit us and blah, 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 and a bunch of stuff that really helps you get to China. And they really updated their website July 10. Okay. Leave them alone. I guess they're running Windows 2000. You want to see what ports are open? Here you go. Just as a reminder, this is a byproduct of the Nmap scan. The real cool thing is that I scanned it with two packets, man. Just to see the port, the NetBIOS SSN stuff, well, gee. Don't we need updates from home? And PC Anywhere, you know, if someone really important comes to China and we need to update it immediately. I hope the admin will stay alive after this talk. So, I guess my name will be up front on the list of the people who will not visit China in the next couple of years. And I will need to get a visa to get to China. So, these were just port scans and scans with my tool, just to show you that in order to get accurate results, you don't need to puke in the network. You can do it wisely. Now, how wisely you can do that? For all the operating systems, it is listing here. One query, two queries, three queries, four queries, and the tool is just 0.0.1 without a failover mechanism. So I guess it's pretty cool. What do I have to do next, or what do I have to implement, and I'll do that fast. I need to put some firewall checks, more firewall checks, and I need to do the logic thing, and I need to add DB support and fingerprinting DB, more logic, failovers, artificial intelligence, and you saw that this is working, so, oh, well, what will happen with O2? This is an open source project. In the next couple of days, there will be a page stating if you want to send me some information or fingerprints about the stuff you want to show me, or you want to donate hardware because I have only two boxes. And when installing 15 operating systems in 4 hours to just check something, it's not that nice. If you'll go to my website, you can go and download the tool. This is the last thing I added between Black Hat and DEF CON. Everybody is doing host detection, port scanning, then OS fingerprinting, and then exploiting. This is dumb. Why? Because if I'm doing the OS fingerprinting my style, if, for example, I'm using Win2K and I need to exploit IIS, and I'm not endorsing it in any way. No, really. So, I can understand that I have Win2K in two packets. And, for example, if I know what is my target, for example, a web server, I can send the exploit right away. So in 3 or 4 packets, I own the box. And this is really cool because with the other stuff that is being done today, you only scan to understand your operating system, which you send a lot of packets, and basically it's not stealth. But if you do the opposite way, using the stuff I showed you here, 3 to 4 packets you load a box. So just think about it. X is available from my website. Soon there will be a page for X problem source ports. It will be a daily CVS. Well, 0.0.2 will be unreliable for a lot of time until we'll stable it. And it will be available from Fyodor Yerohin's website as well. So we'll have 4 mirrors for that. The failover mechanism was implemented by Simple Nomad. I didn't check, verified it until the end, so I might rewrite that part again. Acknowledgement, and this is important, so bear with me. I'd like to thank DT here for having me for the last year at the Black Hat World Tour. JD Glaser, who was pressuring me to do the window thing, and it evolved from there. Simple Nomad and Todd Sabin for the time they gave me last year here at DEF CON would talk to me and basically listen to all my mumbo jumbo when I did not have really stuff in hand. Shelly Rahim for helping me implement the stuff. Marty Roach from Snort for putting stuff at Snort. Jennifer Granick for the legal advice. The people that send me emails and help me out with my research. And basically, you people for attending here. Again, thank you, DT, for having me. Thank you, guys.